Morning. Welcome. A couple announcements this morning. There's a prayer initiative started by the Alliance Church in Sylvan, and they're asking for all the churches around for their participation. Dad will be our coordinator. It is a 40 days of prayer starting on February 20th and commencing on March 30th. The Facebook link is Sylvan Lake 40 Days of 24/7 Prayer, and Dad will be our coordinator with that if anybody feels that they're led to be part of that. Contact Dad for more information. The prayer will be for all essential workers, schools, healthcare, city hall, EMS, and anything else that people are led to pray for. And there are half-hour slots for the full 40 days. So feel free to contact Dad for more information. We had our annual meeting yesterday, and the board, as it is now, Tom is chairman, myself vice chair, Calvin secretary, Janelle treasurer, and the trustees are Craig, Terry, Steve Bergstrom, Vaughn, and Neil. And Barry is the Sunday school superintendent. Flyers have been sent out for our open house within a 3-mile radius, and I think there's people that have been invited from beyond that radius as well. And if you have anybody that you would like to invite, feel free. It will be for next Sunday, the 28th, at 2 o'clock. There's more flyers at the back if you want to give some out. Are there any prayer requests?
Pray for Raymond Hillman and his family. Raymond suffered a heart attack this week and is in the hospital in Florida. He is improving, and so just prayers for the family and for him.
For sure.
Prayers for Roy and Caleb are flying in the wee hours of Thursday morning.
Yes, 12 days of no help with chores.
Any other prayer requests? Any other announcements? Okay, Hudson will read the psalm, and Jordan will open in prayer, and Tom will bring us to service. And we'll start it with 420.
Purchase The psalm reading for today is Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. For him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter and vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery, and riches increase. Set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God, also unto thee. O God, belongeth mercy, for thou readest to every man according to his work.
Father, we thank you for another day that you've given us to gather around your word, for the freedom and the blessings that are so abundant that we can't even count them all. Although so often we neglect to thank you for them because they've been so abundant for so long. But we do thank you for all the blessings that we have, and we pray that you would continue to be with us for those of us who are believing and trusting in Jesus Christ and his work that he did on our behalf. Pray that you would continue to strengthen us and help us to grow and to be that light in this world, this dark world, that as Christians we're called to be a light in the dark world, that others could also come to the light and join in and spread that light throughout the whole world. And we pray, of course, for the many needs that there are. Each of us has our weaknesses and our struggles and our everyday challenges, whether it's parents raising our children, whether it's children trying to be good and do the things that we need to, whether it's in our jobs as working people, that we're faced with many struggles and the things that this world is so full of, the corruption and every type of evil that's around us. And we pray that you would give us what we need for each day and in facing those things. And we especially pray for those who have not come to knowledge of Jesus Christ, wherever they may be in our local community, our co-workers, they may be on the far side of the world, as Roy and Caleb are going to Africa to try to be a light there along with their employer, to be a light in that part of the world and show the love of Christ in helping people. And we pray that wherever there are people who are found to be, they find themselves to be sinners without hope, that somehow the word of Jesus would go to them so that they could find hope and strength in this life and even hope eternally beyond this life. Pray for the speaker this morning, that you would open his understanding, open his mouth, and bring forth the message of truth and encouragement and strength and whatever each person here needs today. And we pray for the congregation also, that our ears would be opened, our hearts would be receptive to that truth, and that fellowship would be increased, and that we could go forth from this building today strengthened and encouraged, and each of us would have what we need to carry on into the coming week. Now let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, with a gentle verse. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all during this hour of fellowship. Amen. We will, if you turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, that's Galatians chapter 5, we'll read the entire chapter. That's Galatians 5. We'll read it in Jesus' name. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but be by love serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. The title of, in my Bible, says the whole chapter is Live in Freedom. So we have this letter to the Galatians, and it starts off, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What are we standing in? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. What are we standing in? Freedom in Christ. What is the freedom in Christ? It's in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and the power of his word alone. We stand in that. And there's a warning here. And be not entangled again in with the yoke of bondage. What's the yoke of bondage? It's the Jesus plus person. What's the Jesus plus person? If your life is going well, things are good, you have enough money, you have a home over your head, you're successful, you don't really have a lot of worries. Then you hear about Jesus, and you say, oh, I've heard about him. I could probably use him. You're attaching Jesus to yourself. This is a Jesus plus person. See, the Galatians were being taught by Paul, and they were being taught by the Pharisees and other people, and the first church was teaching Jesus plus doctrines, the doctrine of circumcision. And what happens is, Jesus is going to help me with what I've already got, is the thought. Circumcision is going to help me because circumcision is the means to salvation, is what was being taught. So, we have a problem. And the problem is, it's not by grace through faith in Christ. It's by works. So we have this freedom to live in Christ by the grace of Christ, through the faith of Christ, and in Christ alone, and in his power alone, through that Holy Spirit. There's a freedom there. It can't be that simple. It can't be. There has to be something more. So let's add something to the cross. Let's add something to it. I have to be able to help my Savior. So we have this yoke of bondage. And where did this teaching come from? If you looked at the book of Acts, where the first church started, the new church, in chapter 5. Chapter 15. So if we read the first verse, and then you read from verses 15 or verses 5 to 26, just to get a background of what was being taught in the church. And this is, the book of Acts is the starting of the new church. Controversy about Moses' teaching is the heading. In verse 1 it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." That was what was being taught. Verse 15 to 20. Sorry, verse 5 to 26. "But there rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Notice where this is coming from, the Pharisees. "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them the people up for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled with from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and of Syria and Cilicia, forasmuch as ye have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemeth good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you have the teachings from the Pharisees and how the apostles did not teach circumcision. But the Pharisees influenced the teaching at the time that in order to be saved, you must be circumcised. So this teaching was prevalent of people in that went to this church. They were being taught this, and Paul was going to cut it off, because it needed to be cut it out. So when we read verses 2-9, it goes into that. It says, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. It's not going to do you any good. What's the reason to get circumcised in the first place? So that you can perform an act? So that you can say something, that this is something that we've done? This is the Jesus plus thinking. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to get circumcised, you better keep going. You better keep doing this 100%. Why was Paul so adamant about this? Because he was a zealot for the law. And he, under his own words, say he was blameless according to the law. And he had to be apprehended by God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Damascus Road to get straightened out. He was adamant. You cannot be a Jesus plus person. Because if you're a Jesus plus person and you say you're a Christian, you're really not a Christian. So he was really, really, and look at the two groups here from 2 to 9. There's two groups. There's not one group. There's two. For behold, I, Paul, say unto you. It's not behold we. It's behold I, Paul, say unto you. If ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to get circumcised, you better do the whole law 100% perfectly, because that's what your focus is on. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. That is serious. That is serious. For we, through the Spirit, that's Paul and his disciples, the true believers that believe in grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. For we, through the Spirit, wait for a hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's what Paul was preaching. Faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And then he says, this persuasion cometh not from him, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, that calleth you. This teaching wasn't from God the Father, Jesus the Son, or the Holy Spirit. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But Paul says something interesting here. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. I have confidence that this teaching is not going to influence you, because you're going to recognize it as false. You will soon otherwise be minded that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So the person that is teaching this will be judged. And he will bear the judgment of God, the wrath that comes. And where does it say that? Let me find it here. Why was Paul so confident in the fact that they would recognize false doctrine? Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for a prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. He's saying thus minded, like-minded. And if anything, ye be otherwise minded. Otherwise minded were the people that were in this text, in what we're reading here in Galatians. The otherwise minded, the ones that were preaching a false doctrine, were the ones that were not even believers in the first place. But Paul is saying here, let us therefore, as many be as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise, if you ever influenced by the otherwise minded people, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's why he was so confident in the fact that even though this influence of circumcision there, even though this influence of Jesus plus is there, even though it's being preached, even though there's the Christian will be able to see it afar off. And he was encouraged by that. It says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment. The ones preaching this false doctrine, they're going to bear the judgment, whosoever he be. And then an interesting verse, the 11th one. It says, and I, brethren, if yet I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? People were telling the Galatians, even Paul, He preaches circumcision. Because he's defending himself here. And where does it say that? There is a circumcision that Paul preached. Romans 2, I believe it's 2, 23 to 29. See, they didn't have Facebook back then. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have any of that stuff. They went to a church. They listened to a sermon. They left. But if you didn't hear what was being taught in a spiritual manner, you heard it. You heard the word circumcision. And you heard Paul preach. Well, he preached circumcision. So that gets spread, and then it gets changed, and it gets changed, and it gets changed. Well, even Apostle Paul's. Yeah, he did preach circumcision, but not the circumcision they're talking about. So he's defending himself by saying that. He's saying, why am I being persecuted? If I'm preaching, you say your salvation is based on circumcision, why are you persecuting me? That makes no sense. I'm preaching exactly what you want me to preach. There's no persecution necessary. He wasn't preaching circumcision. He was preaching grace through the faith of Christ, in the power of Christ. And in this text here in Romans, it says, thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking, this is the 23rd verse, the law dishonors our God. Dishonors our God, thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? Who by the letter of circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, the circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's the circumcision Paul preached. It's a circumcision of the heart, not the circumcision of the flesh. So Paul here, when he's defending himself in the 11th verse, then he goes on, I would they were even cut off which trouble you, the ones that preach the false doctrine. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There's restrictions in liberty. The desires of your flesh have been changed to be desires of the Spirit. So you don't do the things you used to do because you've changed. Why have you changed? Not because you make a choice to change, because God changed you. God changed your desires. The desires before you were born, taken out of darkness into his magnificent light, before that happened, were to sin. You promoted sin, you propagated sin, you enjoyed sin. God changed your desires so you do not sin anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't even have the desire to do that. Because he changed your desires. He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new way. So when it says here, my brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Because I didn't preach circumcision of the flesh. I preach circumcision of the heart, which is by grace through faith. I would that ye even be cut off and trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Are you a grace-centered Christian? What does that mean? When you talk to somebody that is a Christian or that isn't a Christian, can you put yourself in their shoes? Can you favor them? They might be telling you something that is totally false, and you know it. But can you listen to them with empathy, with compassion? Can you put yourself in their shoes? Can you bring yourself back to when you were in darkness? They're blind. They can't see. Does your heart of compassion go there? That's grace-centered. Law-centered is, this is what it says, this is what you do, this is how you do it. It doesn't hit the mark. Because the person that is listening to this, that is hearing the law-centered idea, is not receiving it because it's not from grace. It's not from love. Now, that doesn't mean you walk around and you walk on eggshells to talk to somebody. It means that you have to honestly put yourself back to when you were in darkness and how God carried you out of that darkness and he brought you into the light. And that transformation from darkness to light, from your heart being changed, from your desires being changed, God can do it for that person too. So what you're hearing from that person, you might totally disagree with, but you have to have empathy for them. You have to be able to reach their heart. There has to be a feeling that that person actually cares about learning more. Even though they're blinded, my persona and how I approach that person is love-based, is grace-centered, because I know what it's like to be in darkness. I know what it's like to be changed from darkness to light. So that's the approach that the Holy Spirit uses. That's grace-centered. So when it says, for all of the law is fulfilled in one word, that thou love thy neighbor as thyself, do we know how to do that? We know how to do the next thing, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed with one another. This is not grace-centered. This is the flesh acting up, rising up, and we're exposing the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's the one thing that a person does, or a thing that a person does when they're walking in the Spirit? What is their persona? They are at rest. They are at rest. They are at peace. Their Savior reigns. Their sins are forgiven. They are confident in the Potter. They are not looking at their sin. They're focusing on Christ and what he is doing, what he has done, and what he will do. And in that rest, there's nothing to do. Like Jesus says, I can do nothing unless my Father does it. That's Jesus Christ, the Savior. How much more can we do nothing if he's saying that? So there's the walking in the Spirit and being comfortable that you're at rest in the work of the cross. For the flesh, this is the verse that, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The flesh hates the Spirit, lusts against it, does not want any part of it. And the Spirit against the flesh. And there are contrary one to another. Why? So you can't do what you want to do. It's as simple as that. It says it right there. So you cannot do the things you would. There has to be a warfare. There has to be a battle. You have to have a fight. Who's winning the fight? in the new man's winning. If you haven't been born from above, the old man is winning. The flesh and the world. So when it says you cannot do the things that you would, you can't. But in the new man has dominion over the old man, the flesh and the world. So it conquered. Satan is defeated. It's not Satan was defeated, he is defeated. Do we believe that? The flesh is crucified with Christ. The old man is dead. Do we believe that? We battle. There's a warfare, but it's already won. It's already conquered in Christ. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it goes into all the things that are deadly. And it says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and I'm skipping some, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they hate the Spirit. They have no desire to serve the Spirit. The flesh will never change. The flesh will never be converted. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So this is the fruit. It's one fruit. It contains all of these seven things. Love. What is love? It's not a puppy dog love. A person that loves somebody loves to see them changed by the power of God. Loves to speak truth to them. And the person that's receiving the truth understands the truth. And it's received as the truth. A person that loves somebody else is not walking on eggshells. That's not love. Love is sharing what you know, being an ambassador for Christ, and showing who you are through grace. Joy. You wake up every morning, and His mercies are new. Christ is there, like that song says. You go to bed, it's dark, you wake up in the morning, before you even hit the shower, you've felt Jesus already. The moment you woke up, Jesus is there, guiding and directing through that Holy Spirit. So what does that bring? It brings joy and peace. Joy and peace come from being at rest, not being restless, not being a Jesus plus person, but resting in the author and finisher of your faith. It is finished. Long suffering, trials of life, do we embrace them? Gentleness. Are we gentle? Are we kind? Or do we bite and devour everybody? See, that's not of the Spirit. That's of the flesh. Goodness. One of Steve's sermons, one of his hopes in 2024 is to preach that God is good. The goodness of God. Granted repentance. It changes you. Circumcision doesn't. Rules don't. and faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that Jesus' faith is perfect? What Jesus does, he does it perfectly. And he does it for you and for me. And we rely on his faith. Meekness. Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is understanding where you come from. Broken, lowly, and contrite. You understand that except for the grace of God, you would have no hope. Don't lose sight of meekness. Temperance. It's controlled. You have righteous anger. You are right to be angry when somebody is attacking your Lord, either verbally or attacking the ideals of Scripture, the doctrines in Scripture. We have a right to stand and stand as a soldier. We have a right to be angry when our Savior is being abused, when the Word is being abused in the world, when society and laws are being abused because they're not the laws of God. The fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. You can't say, thou shalt not love one another. Try holding to that one. It's impossible because it's of the Spirit. There's no law that can change that. When you have the fruit of the Spirit and you've bitten into the fruit of the Spirit, it is there. You understand it. And because of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, because you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, you have this fruit. You might not see that you have it, but you do. It's a fruit that has all these things. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust and lusts. You don't promote it anymore. Sin is exceedingly sinful. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There's the warning. Vainglory. I think the Bible verse for me that helps me the most when it comes to vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, is do not be a respecter of persons in judgment. Everyone's the same. Except for the grace of God, there go I. Do we recognize that? Colossians, I want to close on this. Colossians 1, 10 to 20. And ye are complete in him. Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of the holy day, or in the new moon or on the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints are bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. We are the bride of Christ, and he is the bridegroom. He is drawing you through grace, by faith, in his power, and in nothing else. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's close with 499.